am mistaken, I recommend memoirs of a less sensational character, such as those of my dear mother, Her Majesty Queen Victoria. Oh, really, Bertie?
Huh?
I am reading your journal. You persist in the notion that you're a detective.
Persist? Damn it, Alexandra. I'm forever being told by you and by Mama to follow intelligent pursuits, yet when I do...
Oh, Bertie, Bertie.
You doubt my deductive powers? Very well, I shall demonstrate. Yes. I see that you have decided to go back to nature.
Go back to nature?
To shed your steel appendage, your bustle.
Bertie.
Do you deny you wrote to your dressmaker today? Told her you intend to wear the new skirts from Paris? And if you're wondering how I reached that conclusion, I deduced it.
How?
By applying the scientific principles of deduction. Permit me to demonstrate. Here, on your desk, is a new candle, yet the wick is blackened.
So?
But the afternoon is sunny. So the obvious reason for lighting a candle is to melt sealing wax. Ergo, you wrote a letter. Now, by your feet, this. Yesterday's Illustrated London News, from which a page has been removed. The torn edge is clearly visible, as are these words.
Opposite, the new narrow skirt designed by Monsieur Worth. I don't understand.
Even though the deductive chain is complete, you see a picture of the latest Paris fashion. Decide you will wear it. So you tear out the illustration and send it to your dressmaker in a sealed envelope. Deny that if you can.
But I do, Bertie. Me wear a narrow skirt and look more like a beanpole than I do already?
Then perhaps you would explain.
I was sewing. I dropped my thimble under the writing desk. I lit the candle to look. Some candle grease spilled on the carpet, so I tore a page from the magazine to clean it up before it hardened. Look, it's still in the waste paper basket.
One small oversight, and you brand me a failure, damn it. Read my memoir, Alex, and you'll learn what a brilliant sleuth you have for a husband.
That is exactly what I propose to do.
Bertie and the Seven Bodies by Peter Lovesey. Dramatised by Geoffrey M. Matthews, with Robert Lang as Bertie, the Prince of Wales.
The Desborough Estate, Inspector Sweeney. Have you ever been to it?
Not yet, sir. But as a member of your household police, I shall be there if you are.
Then my well-being is assured.
Thank you, sir.
Desborough is the finest shoot in England, apart from Sandringham. No, I cannot resist it.
That invitation, Bertie. Who does it come from again?
Lady Amelia Drummond.
Ah, yes. An invitation to shoot from a lady.
She's Freddie Drummond's widow, my dear. Rather plain in looks, but making superhuman efforts to keep Desborough on the map. One feels obliged to show support.
Of course. When did Lord Drummond pass on?
That was last winter, ma'am. The poor gentleman was gored by a bull.
How horrid. Poor Lady Drummond. About what age would she be?
No idea. I'm not much judge of a lady's age. Could look her up in Debrett, I suppose.
I have already. Amelia Drummond is only 27.
Ah. You wouldn't stop my sport merely because the invitation comes from a young widow.
No, of course you must go.
Ah, good.
And I shall come too. As you say, Bertie, one feels obliged to show support. Your Royal Highness, forgive me. A minor problem with the bomb.
The what?
Did I hear you correctly, Lady Drummond?
The bomb. Oh, how stupid of me. The bomb glacé. The chef's pièce de résistance.
Oh.
Now I believe you know most of my guests.
Yes, except for the cleric and, those two ladies?
With Jerry Gribble. Please allow me to present them.
All in good time, my dear. I believe the chaplain must take priority.
Oh, very well.
Arrest, Mr. Bullivant. Mm-hmm. I fear not, sir. The church is a calling, not a profession. A churchman never has a day off.
Well, possibly not, Paget, but if I were a padre, I'd certainly object to saying grace on a Monday.
Why is that, Claude?
It's obvious, Sir George. Marrying people on Saturday, two services on Sunday, by today I'd be entitled to a rest.
Agreed, padre.
I Well, I do find time for a few private pastimes, Mr. Bullivant. But only if time permits.
And what did time permit today?
I should think that was obvious, gentlemen.
Your Royal Highness.
Gentlemen? Reverend,
Paget, Your Royal Highness. Humphrey Paget.
Well, Mr. Paget, how were the trout?
Trout, sir?
You must forgive my husband, Mr. Paget, but he has recently become interested in the science of deduction. Yes.
Which informs me that you are an angler.
Ah, following in St. Peter's footsteps, Padre.
Not exactly, Mr. Mullivant.
Don't deny it. The evidence is all there. The heels of your shoes, evenly discoloured. The toe caps, albeit splendidly polished, but with dull patches. Clear indications you've been in soft mud and splashed with water.
In the trout, Bertie?
The River Ouse, my dear, just down the road, and well stocked with trout, all of which leads to the only conclusion possible, that the Reverend Paget is a trout fisherman.
I may give that impression, sir, but to be truthful, no.
But your shoes?
This morning I conducted a funeral. The ground was rather soggy.
And this afternoon?
A baptism. A fractious infant. Spilled water everywhere.
Obviously. My blasted glass is empty. Jerry, you old bore. I need a refill.
No sooner said, Your Royal Highness. Colwell?
Sir?
Wondered when you'd get round to us, sir.
Your Royal Highness.
Well, come on, Jerry.
Sir?
This lady and I have been winking at each other for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, my apologies, sir. Permit me to present Miss Queenie Chimes.
Chimes? Chimes? Don't recall that name on the guest list.
It's my stage name, sir.
And my mistake, sir. I should have said Bell. Miss Victoria Bell.
Bell. Chimes.
And girls called Victoria, nicknamed Queenie, sir, after Her Majesty.
The connection is clear to me. I shall be happy to call you Queenie, so... where are you performing?
Queenie is with Irving's company at the Lyceum. In fact, the great man himself thought up her stage name.
Obviously has plans for her then. So, you're currently in a production, my dear.
No, sir, but I am preparing a part.
Excellent. Would you care to read it to me?
Oh, well,
The role is non-speaking, sir. But as Queenie's patron, I heartily agree with Irving. She will certainly go far. But hopefully never so far as Miss Dundas. Right, my dear?
Miss Dundas? The lady with you just now?
She's an American explorer.
Now, there's an intriguing prospect. She wouldn't be the first adventuress I've met from across the herring pond.
Yeah, no, sir. She's a fully-fledged explorer. Been everywhere. India, Egypt, Amazon.
At this point, dinner was announced, and the splendid orchestra played zestfully as we took our places. Not being averse to exploratory adventures myself, I surveyed the guests over the roast lamb and amused myself by pairing them off. Sadly, Queenie Chimes was linked with Jerry Gribble, the Duke of Bournemouth. George and Moira Holdfast, dreary in the extreme, were likely to live up to their names. Marcus Pelham's eyes never left his sister. And as for Osgood Edge, the stammering poet, and the Reverend Paget, I absolved them immediately from any amorous intent. Claude Bullivant was obviously hacking a path to Isabella Dundas, our American explorer, who was herself just possibly stalking bigger game. Well, she had looked my way once or twice and smiled. Then, of course, there was our hostess, the winsome Amelia. She was scrupulously charming to everyone. But could I bed her before the end of the week, under Alex's nose, and with her jealous brother roaming the house? Any noctambulations would be infernally difficult.
Oh, yes, yes,
yes. I never have problems sleeping, Mr. Osgood.
Really, Miss...
Dundas.
I am used to strange beds.
Ah, take careful note, Wilfred.
That is not what I meant, Mr. Bullivant. No, in my travels I have slept everywhere, on trains, steamships, under canvas.
In a haunted house?
A haunted house, Miss Charles? No, well, at least not to my knowledge.
Well, there's always a first time, Isabella.
Oh, are you saying this house has a ghost, Jerry?
Of course he isn't, Moira.
Well, why not, Sir George? In 300 years, he's bound to have acquired at least one.
George, please, I really think...
Jerry, please. My wife has a nervous disposition.
Resident spook, splendid.
I don't believe in...
Going to bed in haunted houses. Quite right. I shall sleep in the armchair by the fire. You're welcome to join me.
Gentlemen, I know your intentions are to amuse. However, I will not have Lady Holdfast frightened.
Sorry, Amelia.
My apologies, Lady Holdfast.
So, I will say in all seriousness, there are no ghosts in Desborough Hall. If there were, Moira, I should not have remained here, nor invited my dearest friends to stay.
Well said, my dear. So, tomorrow, are we going for a record bag?
The woods haven't been so well stocked for years.
Excellent. Must say, I've never shot in October, Amelia, so most of the fellows have the advantage of me. Your brother Marcus, Jerry, Claude, I suppose they're all regulars. And the chap with the speech impediment.
Wilfred Osgood Edge. He's a poet. He says shooting combines well with his poetry.
A poet at a shooting party? Writes elegies on dead pheasants, does he?
Hardly, sir. Wilfred is very quick and accurate. Possibly the best shot in Buckinghamshire.
Better than your brother?
Well, that's difficult to say. Marcus was not welcome at Desborough while my husband was alive.
They fell out?
Marcus and I were very close as children. When I married, he felt my husband had broken up the family.
Bravo!
Wonderful! What a spectacle!
Proof of the puddings in the eating.
Yes. Absolute bliss, Amelia.
Thank you. Colwell, attend to His Royal Highness.
Immediately, Your Ladyship.
Enough! Enough! How about you, Queenie?
Just a little, then. Oh, no, not so much as that. It looks divine, but...
Oh, dear.
The scene is still vivid in my memory. Queenie Chimes pitched forward and collapsed face down into the bomb. Jerry Gribble, her patron, was first to her aid. Confirmed she was still breathing, called for a carriage and rushed the poor creature to the nearest doctor. But none of us held out much hope. Least of all, my dear wife.
She was poisoned.
Poisoned? I can hardly believe that, Alice.
She was perfectly well until dinner.
So?
So it has to be food poisoning.
Then why did it only affect Queenie, leaving us all as fit as fleas?
That, Bertie, is for you to deduce. For my part, I shall avoid all cooked food and count the guests at breakfast. I advise you to do the same.
I cannot be so ill-mannered.
Ill-mannered? What you really mean is you can't make do with just a bowl of prunes.
No, Alex, what I mean is I have the fullest confidence in the catering arrangements and in Amelia Drummond. I've no doubt Miss Chimes will be perfectly well in the morning.
Are you awake, sir?
What? Amelia?
I apologize for disturbing you, sir, but I did knock.
With Alex next door? If we're on such intimate terms as this, you'd better call me Bertie.
May I light the candle, Bertie?
Keep your voice down. Do we really need a light?
I believe we do. I have some dreadful news.
Oh?
Queenie Chimes is dead.
Dead? How?
She never recovered consciousness. Jerry thought you should be told. He's outside.
Then bring him in, bring him in.
Jerry,
my dear fellow, sit. Now, how did it happen?
In the carriage, sir, on the way to the doctor. She made some popping noises, like turning off the gas. Then nothing. She died in my arms.
Tragic. And the doctor's opinion?
He'll conduct a post-mortem later this week. I can't believe it's happened.
Here. Get that down. Had you known her long?
Oh, about 6 months. We met at a cricket match in Kent.
Canterbury?
Yeah. Gravesend. She was selling tombola tickets for the actor's retirement home. We just took to each other and now...
Now we must break the news to her family.
As far as I know, she has no living relatives. I shall arrange everything. Lord, to be speaking of her funeral when she was sitting laughing with us just a few hours ago.
Enough, Jenny. Now, off to bed with you. We'll talk in the morning.
With respect, sir, I need to know your wishes.
Wishes?
Whether to call off the shoot.
Ah. Out of respect. What do you think, Jenny?
I think Queenie would want a quiet funeral, sir. And if it got out she died at a house party with you present...
The press would have a field day. And if I return to Sandringham tomorrow, they'll want to know why.
Precisely, sir.
In that case, my dear Lady Drummond, I think we must continue exactly as planned. And, Jenny?
Sir?
I shall not expect you to join the guns.
Thank you, sir. I'll go into town and see the undertaker. Good night, sir.
Lady Drummond?
Good night.
Good night. Now, Amelia, would you mind the candle?
Sir, there is something else.
Yes. I'm in a nightshirt, and you are fully dressed. A little unfair, eh?
Bertie, please, this is important.
Oh?
I couldn't tell you while Jerry was here, but... Well, after Miss Chimes collapsed, the servants cleared her place at the table.
So?
Colwell, my steward, found a small piece of paper cut from a newspaper tucked into Miss Chimes' napkin ring. He thought it might be significant.
Why? What did it say?
Just one word. Monday.
Ignoring my advice, Bertie?
Prunes, as you well know, my dear, do little for me. But kidneys, Here, try one.
Not in this house. And I should like to know when Lady Drummond last inspected her kitchens. I have the distinct impression she would rather visit bedrooms.
That, Alex, is unfair. It was quite proper for her to knock on my door last night. I had to be told the bad news, for heaven's sake.
I never saw such marvellous shooting, sir. You were incomparable.
Hardly, Amelia. There are one or two in Europe at least my equal. So, what's the total?
500 pheasants. 30 wild ducks, sundry hares, partridges.
We'll do better this afternoon.
When Jerry Gribble's in the party, we will.
Your gun, sir. Is it from Mr. Purdy of Oxford Street?
None other, Miss Dundas. And my compliments. I had no idea you were such an expert.
I've had need of guns on occasion, sir.
Champagne, Your Royal Highness.
Oh, thank you, madame.
Your ladyship, ma'am. Champagne, sir.
Excellent. You know, Miss Dundas, we should have invited you to join the shoot.
To kill for sport? No, sir. If I'm obliged to shoot, so be it. But I find no pleasure in this slaughter. So you disapprove of shooting game, Isabella? Oh, I'll always shoot in self-defense, Amelia. But I've never yet been attacked by a pheasant.
Sis, you're making a nuisance of yourself. More champagne, sir.
I shoot better with a clear head, Marcus. Which way is the next stand?
To your left, sir, there in the hollow.
Good choice, Marcus. Birds will fan out, gain height.
Not while that fellow's lying there in the grass. Hey, you! One of your men, Marcus.
Not for long, Claude. Excuse me.
You there! On your feet.
When we start, the light will go.
Still light enough, George. We mustn't linger, gentlemen. Let's go down to our position.
Sir, come quickly. I think he's dead.
It was Jerry Gribble, indisputably dead. He had a revolver beside him and a hole in his head. Ghastly. I pocketed the revolver, assuming he'd taken his own life, inconsolable at the death of Miss Chimes. The best we could do was conveying to his home on the neighbouring estate.
With respect, sir, why take Jerry home?
You consider it unwise, George?
Would have been simpler to leave him. Gamekeepers would have found him. It had looked like an accident.
But what nincompoop shoots pheasants with a revolver,
sir?
Jerry's wound, man. Well?
Oh, of course, hadn't thought of that.
And we wouldn't want another accident, Sir George. Not after last year.
What happened last year?
A young beater was killed. I wasn't in the party, but...
A lad of 17, sir. A stray shot. Fortunately, not much was made of the incident.
Oh?
Poor boy had no parents. So Amelia and Reverend Paget arranged matters discreetly.
Yes, but Jerry, the Duke of Bournemouth, is a different kettle of fish. Still, I'm surprised he didn't do it in his home.
Well, maybe he wanted us to find him.
Obviously. Jerry wouldn't want to scare a chambermaid out of her wits, now would he? So he made sure we'd find him, and chose the last stand, so as not to spoil the shoot. Typical of Jerry. Considerate to the last.
Well, now what do we do?
You find Jerry's steward, break the news, tell him the body's in the gun room. He'll understand.
Understand what?
Oh, come now. Steward worth his salt would rather his master died accidentally, cleaning his gun, than by suicide. Something the matter, Marcus?
Well, it's just the gun, sir.
Gun? What gun?
The fatal weapon, sir. If Jerry was cleaning it, it's not much help if it stays in your pocket.
There. Now, what are you waiting for?
Nothing, sir. Nothing.
Poor old Jerry. To do this, he must have been besotted with Miss Chimes.
Captivated.
Then he may have left a note. We ought to search him.
Agreed. Yes. Oh, all right, I'll do it. Watch. Cigarette case. And... a diary, yeah.
You found something, sir?
No. Just a scrap of newspaper.
Tuesday, again, only one word. Do you think Jerry was trying to tell us something?
If he was, we know it already. My dear, we may not be the best brains in the land, but we don't need telling that today... it's Tuesday.
Then the paper must have another purpose. Maybe he wanted us to link his death with Queenie's.
How? When he didn't know about the first piece of paper. You're positive you didn't mention it?
I told no one, except you.
In that case, with your permission. Colwell!
Your Royal Highness?
You wish for something, sir?
Yes, Colwell. About that scrap of newspaper.
In Miss Chimes's napkin ring, sir.
Did you mention it to anyone?
Only her ladyship, sir.
To none of the servants?
I do not discuss anything with the servants, sir, apart from their duties.
Then I suggest the matter is kept that way. Or better still, is forgotten entirely.
As you wish, Your Royal Highness. Will there be anything else?
Not for the moment.
Thank you, Your Royal Highness.
Well, if Colwell is telling the truth...
I'm sure he is, sir. As I was... Oh, this is such a mystery. I'm sorry, but...
Now, come. Dry your eyes. Oh, that's better. Now, remember, what's done is done. It's up to all of us to act as though we know nothing of Jerry's death. So we'll have a full day's sport tomorrow.
If you wish it, sir.
And Amelia, I wouldn't object to Bertie when we're alone.
Oh, Bertie's an intimacy to which I dare not aspire, sir.
Why not? You used my name more than once last night. Amelia, my dear, in private, I'm a man like any other. As you will appreciate if you are so inclined.
Oh.
But I don't think my suite would be appropriate. Not for intimate conversation.
Nor mine, sir.
That could present a difficulty.
But not insurmountable.
Especially as Desborough has 97 bedrooms.
All wickedly cold.
Not if we agree on one. I assure you it'll lead to a warm outcome.
You flatter me, Bertie.
Then?
Sadly, tonight is inappropriate.
Inappropriate?
Impossible.
Ah.
Me? Recite my poetry?
No.
Neither should anyone else.
Mr. Osgood Edge is a published poet, Bertie. Reverend Paget.
Ma'am?
I'm sure you read beautifully.
Well, if Wilfred has no objection... No, right. To an obstinate boy... He fidgets when the grace is said. Wicked child, he should be fed his daily bread in the wild, where hungrily the king of beasts, day by day, is heard to roar before he feasts. Let us pray.
Bravo, bravo.
Thank you.
Let us pray. A pun. How about that, Lady Holdfast?
If you want the truth, Mr. Bullivant, I did not like it.
Oh, why not?
It's far too outspoken. Yes. Far too outspoken. No, I think we should try something different.
Like what, Lady Holdfast?
Charades.
I would prefer hide and seek, or better still, sardines.
Sardines? A jolly form of hide and seek, George, is played in the dark.
The dark.
Oh, precisely, Sir George. One of us hides, then we turn out the lights and try and find the hiding place. The first one to do so squeezes in, and so on.
Hence the name. Sardines. I assure you, it's tremendous fun.
Perhaps for you, Amelia. Me, I'd rather have a drink. Serve the punch now.
Immediately, sir.
And let's think of a decent game.
Enjoy your punch, Marcus. It'll refresh you for the sardines we intend to play afterwards.
Who shall go first?
It must be Wilfred. He's a wonderful mover.
Oh, are you game?
If you wish.
We don't start counting till we're all in darkness.
Find me if you can, then.
Move over. I'm suffocated.
You're not the only one, Padre. And if anyone's still searching, I'll eat my hat.
Oh, 20 minutes is rather a long time.
Not if you're having fun.
Possibly, Amelia. But please get off my foot. Does anyone know who's left?
There's only one way to find out, Sir George. Excuse me.
What's going on?
Sorry. Oh, my apologies, Lady Drummond. Well, we're all here, except for Osgood Edge.
But he has to be here. He was the hider.
Better confess, Amelia.
Sorry, but we cheated. Claude and I got under here first, for a cuddle. And when the rest came, we had to play along.
In that case, Mr. Osgood Edge is still hiding, and since I have no intention of paying a forfeit, I am going to start looking.
I shall look in the library.
I shall try the breakfast room.
I rather like it here.
Sore spots.
Who's there? Is that you, sir?
George?
You find something? Not yet. But I had a thought. The dumb waiter. It's a quick way to the kitchen. Aha! Blasted things as heavy as lead, though. Ha ha ha! Knew it! How to get Wilfred! Come on! Holy Jupiter! So, for God's sake, the ladies, keep them away.
I struck a match. It glowed for a second. But that brief effulgence showed that the dumb waiter contained the hunt's body of Wilfred Osgood Edge. The handle of a knife jutted from his chest. A thin streak of blood trickled down his shirt.
Bertie, I insist you inform the police.
Inspector Sweeney is the police.
He is your bodyguard, Bertie, not an investigator.
But I am, and between
You're playing with lives, Bertie. And who knows, there could be another murder.
Not with Sweeney and the servants patrolling everywhere. But if there is, I shall summon the detective police immediately. You have my solemn promise.
That will not help the next victim.
Well, in that case, Alex, I shall sleep in your room tonight.
And where do you propose I sleep?
Next to me, of course.
Next? Really, Bertie, to think of... With a murderer at large.
You misunderstand me, my dear. My thought was devoted exclusively to your personal safety. A lady I love and cherish more than any other.
Oh, Bertie.
Hi, dear.
Oh.
Your Royal Highness, if I may have a moment, sir.
Excuse me, my dear. Colwell?
Mr. Oscott Edge's body, sir.
My instructions were clear.
Oh, they have been followed to the letter, sir. The body is safely locked in the stables.
Excellent. And the servants, have they completed their statements?
Most of them, sir. But we do have 87 on duty. You see, each guest brought his own retinue.
I appreciate it takes time, Colwell. But very well, get them to Inspector Sweeney as soon as you can. Now, do any of them live out?
Some, in the village.
Are they discreet?
Absolutely, sir. Especially after last year.
The incident with the boy?
Pure accident, sir. But a matter which it was felt should be kept from the village. We do pride ourselves on being a loyal household.
Go on.
Well, sir, when we removed Mr. Oscott Edge's body from the dumbwaiter, I found this. It was tucked under the gentleman's leg.
Wednesday's corpse.
Three murders, three scraps of newspaper, and you did not tell me?
I had no wish to concern you, Alex.
Then, but now, and since I am fully awake.
My dear, I do need to concentrate. Just that I can't reach a rational conclusion.
Since when has murder been rational, Bertie? As for scraps of newspaper, it's obvious. The killer is boasting, making sure the deaths are credited to him. He wants publicity.
And since no one but you has the whole story, I frustrated his plan. That's why he added another word. Corpse.
Wednesday's corpse. It's so final. Body would have sounded far less horrid.
Still curtains for some poor blighter, however you put it. Are you making a serious point?
About the word? I don't know. It just sounds out of place. And yet...
What?
It scans.
Scans?
Yes. Corpse has only one syllable. So it scans. Like child in the rhyme. Of course. That's why he chose it. Because of the rhyme.
Which rhyme?
Oh, don't be so dense, Bertie. You know it. Everyone knows it. Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child
is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go.
Friday's child is loving and giving, and Saturday's child works hard for a living.
But the child that is born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay. So?
Substitute corpse for child.
Monday's corpse is fair of face. You may have a point, Alex. No denying Queenie was fair of face.
And Tuesday was Jerry Gribble. His grace, the Duke of Bournemouth.
Right. Full of grace. Yes. And Wednesday. Sorry. The coincidence ends there.
Why?
Well, Oscott Edge. Full of woe hardly fits Wilfred. Fellow was always cheerful. And a ladies' man, too. On the quiet? No, doesn't match up, I'm afraid.
Perhaps it refers to his poetry being full of woe.
Woeful, I'll grant you. But to be fair, it was amusing. Then one Paget read out on Monday about the lion, remember?
Hungrily the king of beasts is heard to roar before he feasts. Let us pray.
An amusing pun, which probably went over your Danish head.
My Danish head? And who are you to criticize? You were Sex Coburg.
Then I did have an excellent English tutor. Did yours teach you about puns?
Of course. They're what you feed to elephants. Now, shall we get some sleep?
Yes. Wednesday. There must be a connection with Wilfred. Oh, well. Have to leave it till morning.
I've got it.
What?
It's his initials, Bertie.
What?
Wilfred Osgood Edge, W-O-E, woo.
Full of woe. Amazing. You're right, Alex. Absolutely right.
Don't sound so surprised. Now get some sleep.
Why not? Alex, what day is it?
Day? When? No, it's already tomorrow.
Thursday. Alex, hurry. The line about Thursday. Refresh my memory.
Thursday's child or corpse has far to go.
Far to go. Of course. The next corpse, Alex. Oh, my hat. I must warn her. Miss Dundas, are you awake? Miss Dundas. Isabella.
Miss Lee. The prince of leaves! Hey, get me free this instant!
Oh, it is you, sir. And now, if you will please keep still, I'll cut you loose.
Suppose you expected a fanfare. For heaven's sake, put that knife away.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Royal Highness, but a defenseless woman does need to take reasonable precautions.
Reasonable
precautions? You're more fortunate than you realize. A simple trap, with just a sash cord and a blanket. But if you were a baboon, you'd now be dangling from that beam by your heels.
Really?
Now, perhaps you'll explain why you're here.
Oh, I barely looked in to save your life, that's all.
My life, sir?
Exactly. Our murderer. I believe you are next on his list.
The murderer has a list? Well, surely not.
The conclusion is inescapable, Miss Dundas. Now, if you'll just sit down, I'll endeavour to explain. First, on Monday, there was Queenie Chimes. On Tuesday, Jerry Gribble. Thursday's corpse has far to go. And since no one else has travelled so far, or is likely to...
You consider far to go must relate to me.
It's the obvious deduction.
Well, not if the words have another sense.
Explain.
Well, without wishing to alarm you, sir, some consider the throne as the very height of society. In that sense, you, as the heir apparent...
No. That's too far-fetched for words.
Then, sir, I thank you for the warning. If you'll allow me, I shall reset my trap.
A very wise move, my dear.
Then I think we can safely go to bed.
My word. You Americans don't waste time on preliminaries.
Please, sir. Well, I fear I expressed myself rather badly. What I meant was, you return to your bed and I to mine.
No. I'm sorry. I must remain here.
I beg your pardon?
Your life is in grave danger, Isabella.
Sir?
Bertie.
Bertie, then. Well, I can protect myself.
Of that I am certain. However, having deduced... rather cleverly, that this room is earmarked for the next crime, I shall remain until I've made an arrest.
In that case, you better pour us each a glass of Madeira.
Excellent idea.
Now, whom do you suspect?
If I was certain, I should have made an arrest already.
I can't think of anyone who'd want me dead.
No doubt the other victims would have ventured the same comment.
Murders without a motive. An actress, a duke... a poet. But maybe we should consider what they had in common, apart from being here, of course. So what of Miss Chimes?
Young, charming, inoffensive. Mm-hmm.
And shepherded everywhere by Jerry Gribble.
Well, a delicate way of putting it, but yes, there's no doubt Queenie was included as company for Jerry. Oh, he did have a weakness for the ladies. Twice divorced.
And no discarded wives who bore him grudges? There are no resentful rivals?
No. He was a dear fellow. A gentleman in every sense.
Well, if you're right, Queenie and Jerry were two delightful people who gave no offense to anyone. Well, so what of Mr. Osgood Edge? He was more complex, was he not?
Because he was a poet. Maybe. I found him straight enough, and devilishly fast on the trigger.
He wasn't exactly slow in other matters, either.
Oh, with our charming hostess, you mean? Mm. Yes. She could enlighten us there.
Yes. How does her brother feel about that?
Marcus? I suppose he is somewhat protective towards his sister, but there's nothing to connect him with the other murders.
Looking at it that way, have you made a list of possible suspects?
Would you care to elaborate, my dear?
If you will kindly pour me another Madeira, and I mean nothing else, Bertie, I can drink this stuff and stay sober till kingdom come.
As I'm the Prince of Wales, my dear, it's my destiny to wait for kingdom come. However...
Opportunity, then. Miss Chimes, it appears, was poisoned at dinner. So who had the opportunity?
Servants, kitchen staff, footmen, even dinner guests.
Can you recall who was seated on either side of her?
Claude Bullivant and, Jerry Gribble, naturally.
And now Jerry's dead.
Yes.
Would Claude have had the opportunity there?
Jerry had been dead for some time when we found him. My estimate is he died shortly before breakfast. Rigor mortis had set in. Well, almost anyone could have done it.
And then let's consider the third murder. Wilfred was stabbed while we were playing sardines. By then, the servants were all below stairs.
Who suggested Wilfred should hide first?
Not I. Wasn't it Amelia? Oh, I'm sure it was.
And it was Amelia who drew up the guest list, invited us here in the first place.
And since she knows every inch of this estate, there was no lack of opportunity.
Agreed. But what on earth was her motive?
Oh, sir. Bertie, it's late. Do you mind if I turn out the lamp?
No. Allow me. I shall sit over here by the door and guard you.
Then I'll bid you good night.
Good night, my dear.
Bertie, what was that?
Quiet. The balcony window. Someone's trying to get in.
Isabella, are you awake, my dear? Didn't like to think of you alone, not after some of the looks you gave me. So I brought you these. Red roses picked by moonlight. You're a damn fine looker, if you want to know.
Keep your distance, Mr. Bullivant.
What? Yes, absolutely. Just be careful with that knife.
Just remember that I have it, Mr. Bullivant.
I'll be jiggered. You're not afraid of me, are you? Good Lord, wouldn't take a lady by force. Not the ticket, not at all. Wouldn't say a kiss is the summit of my ambitions, but if that's as far as you care to go tonight, I'm your man.
You're not my man, Mr. Bullivant, and you won't be anyone else's if you so much as touch me.
Really? Come on, Isabella, my peach. What have you got to lose? Surely not your Sunday school certificate.
That's unforgivable, Bullivant.
Oh, good God, who's that? Sir, I had no idea.
How dare you insult this lady? Apologize at once.
Sir, I do most humbly.
To the lady, Bullivant, to the lady.
No apology is necessary or desired. There has obviously been a misunderstanding for which I must accept some responsibility. Mr. Bullivant and I have conversed several times in the last 3 days.
Absolutely.
He may have gained the impression I was amused by his blandishments. Not that one had anything like this in mind, I hasten to add.
Frightful gaffe, sir. Had I but known you were here first.
I am here to protect a lady whose life may be in mortal peril. I shall stay the rest of the night.
Then you wish me to return to my rooms?
By the same route as you entered. And Bullivant, take your roses with you. Blasted things are covered in green fly. Good morning, my dear.
9:05, Bertie. I had hoped you'd accompany me to breakfast.
Ah, sorry, my dear. Overslept.
You were supposed to prevent another murder.
I did. Miss Dundas came through the night safely.
And how do you propose to spend today? Still taking care of Miss Dundas?
No, I shall delegate that responsibility to Mr. Sweeney.
Leaving you to...
Start my investigation in earnest. I shall interview everyone.
Then you'll have to hurry.
Oh?
The whole farce are about to leave. That is, if they haven't already.
Remain here, sir. Impossible. Moira is extremely agitated, determined to leave.
I cannot allow it, George. As I indicated last night, I shall require everyone to give me a full statement.
But, sir, Surely you don't consider Moira and me as suspicious persons?
No, but it would look mighty suspicious if you defied my instructions. Well, seeing we're all assembled...
The father isn't here, sir.
Father? Oh, you mean the chaplain. Amelia?
I'm sorry, sir, but he had to take a scripture class at the village school. He asked me to express his apologies.
And Claude hasn't shown up either.
Has anyone seen him since last night?
I believe that Mr. Bolivant...
Yes, I saw him in the small hours. I expect he overslept, like me. See if you can find him, Sweeney.
Sir.
And until then?
I shall question each of you in turn, starting with you, Amelia. This is a fine pickle, Amelia. The plain fact is that you invited a number of guests to your house, and three of them are now dead.
The guest list was sent to Marlborough House for your approval, sir.
I know that. But the names were your choice initially. Why this particular set of people?
As it was a shooting party, I nominated the guns first. Your name was top of the list, of course. Then I selected others worthy to stand with you. All old friends who shot here last year. Plus Marcus.
And Queenie Chimes?
I'd met her with Jerry.
You didn't disapprove of him taking up with an actress?
Plenty behave worse than him. It's not as if he was still married. Oh, I mean nothing personal, sir.
Quite. So Jerry never asked you to marry him or suggested a liaison?
He was twice my age.
He was twice Queenie's age.
I speak for myself.
Suppose you had killed the other two and Osgood Edge found out.
You're wrong.
You'd have had a motive for killing him as well.
I did not. Yes, he was my lover. That is the only true thing you've said. He was kind, courageous and gentle. And whoever killed him is a demon. A demon!
Amelia! Amelia, my dear!
Me next, sir. I assume my charming sister is also a suspect.
Everyone is under suspicion, except me. This path, where does it lead?
Couldn't say, no idea. Now, if you
kindly...
Kindly
have the manners to address me properly.
Sir, I beg your pardon. I'm not a regular visitor here. Amelia must have mentioned I was not welcome at Desborough. The only reason I'm invited now is to act as host.
Not welcome, you say?
Her bloody husband, begging your pardon, sir, found out that Amelia was paying off my debts.
You have no private income?
Not enough to exist on. I'd have had money to burn but for grandfather. He caught religion, left our estates to the church, then expected me to take holy orders. I rebelled. Wasn't suited to preaching, damn it.
But you do know on which side your bread is buttered.
Well, Amelia and I have always been very close. And now...
Even closer. Ready to protect her interests and keep track of her lovers. The progress they're making.
That's being uncommonly frank, sir.
Fair comment, Marcus. And since we both know of your sister's liking for male company...
So?
My point is this. With Freddie Drummond dead, Jerry Gribble or Osgood Edge could have threatened your future income.
You think I killed them to stop them marrying my sister? sir, before you put a noose around my neck, you're overlooking the first victim.
Queenie?
She was Jerry's mistress. If what you say is true, I'd want to keep her alive, to keep Jerry occupied, away from Amelia's skirts. Logical?
Unless, of course, our murderer committed an illogical crime to obscure the pattern. Where were you seated when Miss Chimes collapsed?
Between the Reverend Paget and the Princess of Wales. But if you want to know who sat on either side of Queenie...
Jerry Gribble and Claude Bullivant. But that is of small consequence. Anyone could have tampered with the food before it was served.
Only if they visited the kitchen. I did not.
Then the poison could have been in her drink. The one before dinner.
You'd better speak to Colwell about that. He served the aperitifs.
The house steward?
A glorified butler. Maybe you should consider that possibility.
That the butler did it? And his motive?
He might hold a grudge against the upper classes. All I know is I did not kill anyone.
The other guests. Had you met them before?
Yes, all of them. Apart from yourself and the princess.
Including Queenie?
Yes, we met last January in Chelsea.
How?
Quite by chance. She happened to drop her umbrella down the stairwell outside my rooms. I retrieved it. She thanked me with a ticket to the Lyceum. We had supper once or twice after that, but it never came to anything.
You do surprise me. So it emerges that you met Queenie before Jerry did.
A few months before. Our association was short. A few theatre visits. Well, who'd turn down a chance to see Irving? I wasn't jealous of Jerry when he took up with her.
So Amelia prepared the guest list last May, while you were still seeing Queenie Chimes.
Yes.
Did you discuss the guests with Queenie?
Once I knew she was included. The names didn't mean much to her. Apart from Amelia and Jerry, the rest were strangers.
Except by repute. A lady explorer, an eminent philanthropist, a noted poet, not to mention me. That building there, by the Rose Garden, what is it?
Sorry, sir, but I did say I was a stranger here.
So you did. Let's find out, shall we?
Obviously a well, sir. Now, if we chuck in a stone like so...
Uncommonly deep. What's that by your feet?
It's a waistcoat. Oh, my God. It's Claude Bullivant's. The one he was wearing last night.
The murderer had struck again. I sent at once for grappling hooks, and we spent the rest of the day fruitlessly endeavouring to recover the body I knew was down there. That it was Bullivant, I had no doubt. The murderer had placed yet another cryptic note in his waistcoat pocket.
But the rhyme, sir. Thursday's corpse has far to go. It cannot in any sense apply to Claude.
Quite right.
What you don't see, George, is the totality of the mystery. It attacks many a trained investigator. The message refers not to Bullivant's way of life, rather to the way he met his death.
By falling down a well.
A very deep well. So deep that his body may never be recovered. Which I believe is exactly what Bullivant intended.
What he intended? Are you saying Claude killed himself?
After he did away with three others.
Oh, Claude, the murderer? Why? For what reason?
Well, Bertie.
Why does anyone resort to murder? He was mad or bad. I can't be precise. At the moment, his motive is somewhat clouded. However, it will not remain so for long. But more importantly, I can assure you, our lives are no longer at risk.
Oh, thank God for that. Even so, if anyone thinks I'm spending another night in this house, they're mistaken. George, we will leave within the hour.
That is a slur on my hospitality, Lady Holdfast. You make it sound as if my house were verminous.
Your manners are, not to mention your morals.
Oh, Moira. Let us all simply be thankful that we are still alive.
Is the house party over then? Now you have found your murderer, Bertie, that is all we have to decide, is it not?
Yes. Yes. The case is concluded, it's true. But it's out of the question to resume the shooting.
There is one small matter remaining. Mr. Osgood Edge, what do you propose for him?
For Osgood Edge?
Well, unless I am misinformed, his body is in a stable somewhere. What is to become of it once we return home?
We informed the police, ma'am.
Inspector Sweeney, must I remind you yet again, you are the police. But, of course, Isabella is right. Osgood Edge must have a decent burial. So, Sweeney,
sir,
find the chaplain.
Sir.
Tell him I want to speak with him immediately.
Bury Mr. Osgood Edge, sir. Tomorrow. Has the coroner been advised?
Not yet. And I'm sure he's busy enough with Miss Chimes and Jerry Gribble.
But without an inquest, sir, there are rules.
Which one must break on occasions, Padre? You and I know what has happened and who did it. But to inform the whole kingdom, distress Lady Drummond, I think not.
But his family, sir?
One brother in Bombay. We shall write him a letter. Inform him it was a private ceremony here in the village church and that I was chief mourner. I suggest you organize it in the same way as last year.
Last year, sir?
The young canekeeper who was shot.
Accidentally shot, sir. The poor lad strayed, got ahead of the beaters. There was no question of murder then.
But someone was responsible. Who?
I was not present at the time, sir.
But you know who fired the shot?
The boy was an orphan, sir, and, well, the parties involved closed the matter after the funeral.
Who shot him, Mr. Pettit? I must have a straight answer.
Sir, I beg you, my information must be in confidence. It was Mr. Bullivant.
So, was Jerry Gribble in the party?
Yes.
Freddie Drummond?
Yes, sir.
And Osgood Edge?
Yes.
And the ladies?
Only Lady Drummond was present.
I see. Yes, I should have guessed. Thank you, Mr. Patty. Things are really falling into place.
If you wish to remain, Bertie, please do so. But for me, Marlborough House, however late I get there, is far, far preferable.
As you wish, Alex, my dear. What will you say about returning early?
That the party did not turn out as expected.
Well, that's true enough.
I think we should all respect the truth, Bertie. And may I have a sherry?
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Thank you. Now, do you plan to keep yourself to yourself once I'm gone?
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean. Just remember, my dear, one is too clever and the other is anybody's. Get some sleep, you old ram. You're looking tired.
Tired, perhaps, but not unsatisfied. Aren't you going to congratulate me?
Whatever for?
My detective work. Another case brought to a brilliant conclusion.
Oh, Bertie, you don't really believe Claude Bullivant was the murderer. He was killed just like the others. He had no reason, no motive.
The motive, as I have already indicated, remains a mystery. But if there's any truth in what you say, how can you leave, knowing your husband is still at risk?
I don't think you're at risk.
A matter of opinion.
The murders always fit the rhyme. And if there are to be any more, I don't think the killer will deviate. What is tomorrow?
Friday.
Friday's corpse is loving and giving.
There you are.
The loving might apply to you, but not the giving. You're not ungenerous, Bertie, but you're not noted for it either. So it has to be someone else.
That still leaves Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday works hard for a living. Even less likely. And the corpse that is killed on the Sabbath day...
is bonny and blithe and good and gay.
Bonny and blithe, I grant you. Gay, yes, much more gay than good. But the good, my dear, is in very small measure.
Well, if I want home truths, I know where to come, don't I?
Always. But I'm not indifferent to the perils of this place either.
Huh.
So I had a quiet word with Mr. Sweeney. He'll move into my empty suite.
Huh.
Yes, he'll keep a very special watch over you.
In my opinion, sir, about your theory...
It is not a theory, Sweeney. It is the explanation. And more importantly, I've now deduced the motive.
I'm all ears, sir.
Not from where I'm standing... Do you sleep in that state? Where's your nightshirt, man?
Sorry, sir. I wasn't expecting you.
Oh, I must say, I've made prettier discoveries in bedrooms. That's better. Now, these murders. The key is that incident last year.
The lad who was killed.
Shot, as we know, by Claude Bullivant. And the matter then swept under the carpet by everyone involved. A conspiracy of silence. Until someone uncovered it.
And who would that be, sir?
Our first victim.
Miss Chimes.
Precisely. Queenie Chimes. A charming young actress, but, as I have found out, with rather more to her than met the eye.
Sir?
She was, as Her Majesty might put it, an adventuress. A schemer who cleverly contrived to meet and befriend young Marcus.
And her reason, sir?
To gain entree to Desborough. Somehow, she'd learned about the shooting accident and the cover-up. She was a minor actress, existing on the paltry wages paid by Irving, and she now saw a way to profit.
Blackmail, sir.
Pray let me continue, Inspector. No. What Queenie wanted was an invitation to this shooting party. And when Marcus didn't rise to her bait, she moved on and befriended Jerry Gribble.
Ah, at the cricket match.
Exactly. However, months ago, this is my conjecture... she had made similar advances to Claude Bullivant. When they were rejected, she resorted to threats. Told him what she knew.
Sir, if I might interrupt...
why go to such lengths just for an invitation to a shooting party?
Just a shooting party? When I, the Prince of Wales, had been invited? What she was after was my patronage.
Ah.
She calculated that I would work wonders for her prospects as an actress, as others have discovered. Does that explain matters?
Oh, indeed it does, sir.
Good. So, let us examine the consequences. Imagine Bullivant's horror when he learns that Queenie has been invited. He's convinced she'll blurt out the story, embarrass Lady Drummond, everyone.
But they already knew, sir.
I did not. He could foresee my outrage at being embroiled, through no fault of my own, in such a scandal. Damn it! I'd be compelled to leave immediately. As for Bullivant, he'd end up a pariah.
What, sir?
A social outcast. Removed from invitation lists, blackballed from any decent club, cast out of respectable society. All because of one interfering actress. It left him only one choice.
To kill her. Oh, I understand that, sir. But why kill the Duke?
Why? Because Queenie died in his arms. He told me she was unconscious, but I think not. I believe she knew who'd poisoned her, blurted it out before she died.
So the Duke confronted Mr. Bullivant.
And Bullivant had to silence him.
Two murders and two to go.
A third, Wilfred Osgod Edge, was another member of the conspiracy, but far shrewder. After two deaths, he was suspicious. But then he made the same mistake as Jerry Gribble. Talked to Bullivant.
Sealed his fate.
And as Lord Drummond had already been gored by a bull, all the conspirators had now perished, except for Mr. Bullivant.
Now, his death, sir. How do you account for that?
Obvious. He committed suicide.
It's a peach of a theory, sir.
Really, Sweeney. Bullivant knew I was on the trail, getting closer to him every moment. There was no escape, so he jumped.
Ah!
You found a snag?
Not exactly a snag, sir. More of a loose end. It's those messages. I'm wondering why Bullivant left them.
To distract, to deflect us from the truth.
Ah, but, well, they all fit that rhyme. The one you cleverly identified, sir. But if your theory and explanation is correct, Miss Chimes was killed for just one reason.
To stop her talking.
Right. So, when Mr. Bullivant killed her, he wasn't planning any more murders. They came later, once he'd been tumbled, so to speak.
So?
Well, it seems to me, sir, that the person who left the message on Monday knew that he would kill again on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on.
And so on. Yes. By Jove, you're right, Sweeney. Absolutely right, damn it. It wasn't Bullivant. The murderer is still alive. Good God, it's past midnight. Another day.
Another victim, sir.
Unless we prevent it. Friday, the verse, man, the verse. Friday's corpses.
Loving and giving, sir.
Now, who in blazes does that fit?
There are not many left, sir.
Let's see, Lady Drummond, her brother Marcus, Miss Dundas, and myself.
And Sir George, sir.
Holdfast? He left with his wife.
No, sir. Lady Holdfast left, but not Sir George. He decided it was his duty to stay and support you.
Good God! There's no man in the country more loving and giving. I wouldn't mind a guinea for every charity he supports. Do you know where he is at this minute?
I do, sir. And it isn't in his own bed.
I see.
A moment. Sir, is everything all right?
That is a question I should address to you, Sir George. You weren't in your bedroom.
You were looking for me, sir.
Out of concern. Your life, George, I believe it is under threat.
But
I take it Lady Drummond is within?
Yes, sir. But I assure you things look quite as they seem. I'm here because I was invited. In spite of your assurances, Amelia cannot accept Claude Bullivant as a murderer. She reasoned that I could well be the next victim.
Loving and giving. Yes. In every sense, apparently. My apologies for interrupting.
Sir, you are interrupting nothing. I am simply passing the night here on the ottoman.
where I shall come to no harm.
That, George, remains to be seen. I wouldn't be in your shoes, not for all the tea in China.
Sir, you do not, cannot suspect Amelia.
Georgie, darling.
Oh, Jerusalem.
Georgie, I'm getting ever so cold.
Well, Georgie, it's up to you, of course.
Sir, what am I to do?
Make your excuses and leave.
Yes. Amelia, my dear, His Royal Highness is here, has something to impart to you in confidence. I must bid you good night.
George.
And to make sure you get one, I recommend my suite. I'm sure Inspector Sweeney will be only too happy to protect you.
My hat.
Bertie. Oh, you're dressed?
I have not been to bed. May I?
Please. Corridors are so public. Poor old George running off like that. What on earth did you tell him? Oh!
Steady.
It's that champagne. We had some earlier. I shall order some more.
Well, that won't be necessary, my dear. But those sausage rolls look good, and...
The cocoa must be cold by now.
Well, I'll have some, nonetheless.
Help yourself. Then come by the fire. I want to warm my knees. What a lark. I really thought you had decided I was to blame for all the horrid things that have happened.
As I told your brother, my dear, I suspect everyone. But in your case, I can't think why a lady would invite a number of old friends to her house and kill them one by one.
I wouldn't, and didn't. Do you feel safe with me now? Well, would you like to search me?
I dare.
Put it down, Bertie.
What? Oh, my cup.
Bertie, if you're wondering why I invited George, it was because I'd abandoned hope. I'll rephrase that. I didn't dare aspire to a visit from you. You know, I've thought of you constantly, ever since Monday when I came to your bedroom to tell you Miss Chimes was dead. The way you misinterpreted my presence there.
Only for a moment.
Yes, but it seemed so unthinkable, so open to censure. Until...
Until this evening, when Alex left.
And anyway, since you appeared to suspect me of murder... I am guilty, you know.
What?
And ready to confess the desires of the flesh.
Oh.
Oh, Bertie, you're such a tower of strength, so manly. Please take me to bed.
Presently, Amelia. But I'm devilish thirsty. Do you mind pouring me another cup of cocoa?
I do believe you enjoy seeing me prance about the room, practically in a state of nature.
Oh.
Bertie, are you all right?
Fearfully sorry, my dear. Suddenly I feel uncommonly drowsy.
Oh, no! Oh, Bertie, you took the wrong cup.
Wrong cup?
Mine. I always put chloral in my cocoa, a habit ever since Freddy died. It helps me sleep. And you've...
I awoke with a raging headache, feeling appallingly lethargic. Amelia's side of the bed was empty. I stumbled into her dressing room. The balcony windows were wide open. I put my head out for a breath of air, and there below me, on the gravel under the balcony, was another corpse.
It could have been an accident.
I fear not, Miss Dundas. If you please, Sweeney.
Sir, out of respect for a lady's feelings.
Oh, you may speak freely, Inspector.
Well, ma'am, gents, she hit the ground head first. Her neck was broken. Oh, and there were also other injuries not caused by the fall.
And how do you prove that?
How, Marcus? Easily. I found the murder weapon, a blood-stained poker, in her dressing room. Proves the attack took place there. The murderer struck her twice to make doubly sure, opened the window, and pitched the body over the balcony.
To give the impression of suicide, perhaps?
No, Padre, no. The murderer did not want us to be in any doubt He left his calling card, Friday. It was wrapped around the poker.
But the logic, sir, I still can't follow it. I thought I was the intended victim. Now you tell us it was poor Amelia. She doesn't fit the rhyme.
Doesn't she? If it's love we're talking about, no one was more loving than our Amelia. As for giving, she gave herself to all and sundry.
Really, Marcus, I must...
Shame on you, sir.
On me? Oh, that's fine, coming from you, Holdfast. You think I don't know where you spent last night? Who else could have attacked her in her own dressing room?
I wasn't... Sir, I...
I ask the questions here, Marcus, and I see no reason to follow your path.
No, when it is obvious. Whoever spent last night with Amelia must be your man.
Marcus, I will try to make allowances for your grief, but there are limits. The evidence indicates Amelia was killed between 6 and 7 this morning. So I must insist each of you tells me where he was during that hour.
Each? Yes, you mean Holdfast and me, don't you? Well, we are the only two logical suspects. I spent last night in my own bed, was woken and served breakfast well after 7 by a maid. Well, George?
Sir, I must...
I can confirm Sir George was under observation all night. Didn't leave me until after His Royal Highness found the body.
Thank you, Inspector.
With respect, sir, it's obvious.
All that's obvious is that you want an arrest before tomorrow.
It's down to just 3, sir. And we can eliminate Sir George.
Leaving Marcus and Isabella Dundas.
The lady has no motive, sir. Knew none of the victims before she was invited here.
Agreed. And Marcus?
The Desborough estate, sir. Lady Amelia has no children. As next of kin, he inherits.
That does have a certain cogency, Sweeney. Now explain why he killed the others.
Aye. Well... Because he's a misanthrope, sir.
What?
A despiser of mankind, sir. Jealous of his sister's wealth, hatred of everybody who was welcomed at Desborough while he was treated like a pariah. As for his so-called alibi, sir.
It was confirmed by the housemaid.
Only that she served him breakfast. There's no telling where he was before then, at 6 or 5:30. And that's not all, sir. The liberty he took with his sister's reputation, his lack of grief, oh, that says it all, sir. And if you'll let me run him through the mangles, sir, I'll squeeze out the truth.
I'd far rather you didn't.
Sir?
If you're right about Marcus, he's achieved his object, killed his sister, so no more murders. However, if he suspects that you, a man who works hard for a living, are close to the truth, well, I wouldn't give tuppence for your chances.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it like that, sir.
The murderer entered Amelia's room between 6 and 7. Someone must have seen him. There had to be people about. Damn it, Sweeney. The servants, they'd be everywhere, collecting shoes, serving morning tea. How did we overlook them?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
On the contrary, Sweeney, the servants told us a great deal.
Sir?
We learned that not one of them saw Marcus enter or leave his sister's room. What do you deduce from that?
That he went in sometime in the dead of night.
And when did he leave?
After he killed her.
Which we estimate was between 6 and 7, when the corridors were swarming with servants. So how did Marcus remain invisible? Well?
Give up, sir.
Then it seems that I shall have to demonstrate. Let's go up to the dressing room. From here, Sweeney. Look to your right. What do you see?
Another balcony.
Exactly. And so near that anyone could easily cross from one to the other.
Ah, oh, no wonder he wasn't seen. Smart of you to spot that, sir.
Comes from having a trained mind, Sweeney. Remembering things.
Sir?
2 nights ago, Claude Bullivant used the same method to visit Miss Dundas. If it was easy for him after a good dinner...
A child's play for the murderer. But whose balcony is it next door?
Your prime suspect.
Marcus. Then we've got him, sir.
No. Sweeney, we have only established a possibility. Now we need proof. Clues.
Footprints, sir.
A bloodstain is more likely. From his hands. Clothes. Climb across.
Me, sir.
See what you can find.
He might be in his room, sir.
We just saw him downstairs. Stop dithering and get on with it.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well?
Nothing, sir. No blood anywhere.
Examine the windows.
No, they're spotless, too, and locked tight. Shall I come back now, sir?
No. I shall go to Marcus's room, open the window, and let you back in that way.
Ah, your Royal Highness.
Marcus.
Please, come in.
But you were downstairs, Derek.
Until I saw Inspector Sweeney on my balcony, assumed his acrobatics were part of his duties as your bodyguard, and concluded I was about to be graced by a royal visit.
You wasted no time getting up here.
Yes, as the only surviving member of my family, I thought it proper to place myself at your service.
Then start by opening the balcony window. Sweeney is of more use to me in here.
So I'd have thought. It's his life that's threatened.
Why do you say that?
I'll catch pneumonia out there. The blasted thing's jammed. I'm sorry, sir, but I shall require some assistance.
Very well. Now, push.
No wonder they stuck. Painted last summer and closed before they were dry. Sealed the surfaces tight. Obviously haven't been opened in months. Shoddy work.
Shoo!
Step inside, Inspector. We're not discussing you.
Oh, Sweeney, that's my latest theory scuppered. Yet someone entered Amelia's room while I was there. That sticks in my gullet. Now, about tomorrow.
It's Saturday, sir.
Oh, you don't need to remind me. But since there are only three possible victims, I think we can provide adequate protection. So, Osgood Edge's funeral here. Get it, Daniel.
Thank you, sir.
Arrangements complete?
They are, sir. Carriages outside at 11:30. Service conducted by the Reverend Paget at noon in the chapel.
Not in the village church?
Chapel's more isolated, sir, and on the estate. The father, Mr. Paget, thought it more appropriate.
And the burial?
In a small plot at the rear, sir. Not often used and very private.
Is it now? Excellent. Marcus should be congratulated.
Well, if you say so, sir. There's still some who disagree.
The servants?
They have a loyalty, sir, to Lady Drummond. But her brother's a stranger. They don't take kindly to him at all. Not at all, sir.
Seems you've got to know them quite well.
Hardly, sir. No, too many of them. Each retinue keeps to itself.
So, if you pass a servant in a corridor, you couldn't identify him?
No, sir.
But you do recognize the guests?
That's part of my duty.
Obviously. But suppose you were a mere flunky. Would you still recognize them?
Any servant could, sir, from above or below stairs.
They could? How?
Well, from their clothes, sir. Guests don't wear uniform.
A uniform? Yes. You're right. Absolutely right. They don't. The uniform, Sweeney. That's the key to the mystery.
Sir?
A servant in uniform can go anywhere, unrecognized, unchallenged. That's why no one's ever seen anything. The murderer has been posing as a servant.
So, Wilfred is at rest. The service went well, Mr. Paget.
Thank you, sir.
Without even a stutter.
We can thank the Padre for that. Pity there were so few of us. Where's Inspector Sweeney?
I saw him last night looking rather distrait.
Oh, did Mr. Sweeney suffer a bad experience?
I hope there's nothing amiss.
Not at all, Padre, no. All Sweeney did was spend some time in the open without his overcoat. He'll be about somewhere. Marcus, why don't you drive Sir George and Miss Dundas back for some lunch?
And you, sir?
I'd like to wander. Have Mr. Paget show me around. We'll join you later.
As you wish, sir, but... Well, in the open, without a bodyguard.
I have no qualms, Marcus. All I want to do is clear my mind, resolve a lingering doubt. The boy's grave is here somewhere, is it? The boy who was shot?
Yes, sir, just here by the wall.
Not too well cared for, is it?
Well, without relatives, too.
But he does have a name, so... Robert Bell, died October the 20th, 1889, age 17 years, gone but not forgotten. Who paid for this stone?
The money was donated anonymously, sir.
I say, are outsiders allowed in the chapel?
Not normally, sir. Why?
Just thought I saw someone go in. Get down, man! Get down!
Oh!
Paget, you idiot! Paget! Paget! Need I say that the murderer had claimed another victim? In spite of my warning to take cover, the chaplain had bolted like a rabbit. And, of course, his white surplice was a perfect target. He fell dead in the bracken, poor fellow. But I had little time to grieve as I lay flat to the ground.
Turn over, your royal highness.
I obeyed, and found myself looking into the twin barrels of a shotgun. It was held by Miss Queenie Chimes. Yes, Miss Chimes, the actress we had all supposed was poisoned. You must take my word for it that I was not surprised. I had deduced that she was the murderer the moment I had seen that gravestone.
No. No, not me. Spare me, Miss Chimes. Or do you prefer Miss Bell?
I don't mind which. So, you found the grave?
Yes. Robert Bell was your brother, was he not?
Yes. My dearest brother. My only family. Until last year when he was murdered.
No. No. Accidentally shot. He strayed into their line of fire.
He wasn't killed outright, you know. But did they call a doctor? Take him to the hospital? No. That would have ruined their sport. They left him at the nearest cottage and returned to their slaughter. He died in agony hours later while they were singing around the piano.
I'm sorry. I can only assume they had no idea how seriously he was wounded. And they did provide a decent gravestone.
They did not. I paid for that anonymously.
Then the words, gone but not forgotten, were your choice.
I would have preferred the truth, allowed to die. But I had already made certain plans. I couldn't put them at risk.
Plans?
They didn't know about me. Although we were orphaned as children, Robert and I always stayed in touch. So when he didn't write to me on my birthday, I worried. I travelled down here, but no one admitted knowing him or where he was. Finally, I found the cottage where he died. The woman there told me the dreadful truth. How they'd sworn the servants to silence. That was a crime. Failure to report the truth.
I'm sure it is.
But the greater crime was letting him die. I vowed I would kill everyone in the conspiracy. I contrived to meet them.
Through Marcus?
Yes. And when he told me there was to be another shoot...
You decided to act, even though you knew I was the principal guest.
That was a mishap I had not foreseen. But then I realized it could work to my advantage.
In what way?
An unexplained death at Desborough with you present would be a fearful scandal. You'd have to keep it quiet. So I collapsed on the dinner table, knowing it would be concealed from the police, the press.
So there was no dying actress?
No. Only an actress who pretended to die.
But Jerry Gribble told me you died in his arms on the way to the doctor. I cannot believe he was taken in, or the doctor counted that.
There was no doctor. You see, I'd arranged with Jerry to play a practical joke on everyone. He knew how much you enjoyed them.
Up to a point.
What a lark. To scare the daylights out of everyone. I was to die, then return as the Desborough ghost. That is what Jerry believed right up to the time I shot him.
Poor fellow. Tell me, what was the purpose of the scraps of newspaper?
To divert everyone, you in particular, from my real motive.
Why me?
It's well known you never walk away from a challenge. I was confident you'd try and outwit me. Stay on at Desborough. And if you stayed, so would my victims.
Cunning. Am I right in deducing that you masqueraded as a servant?
An easy role for me. One I've played on stage many times. Let me come and go as I pleased. Nobody ever looks at a maid. I even served you punch the night you played sardines before I stabbed Mr. Oscar Edge.
Good Lord! But how did you trap Claude Bullivant?
It wasn't difficult. Claude was interested in Miss Dundas. So I left a note in his room. A dawn assignation by the well. Signed it Isabella. What a surprise he had when I arrived. He didn't even notice the poker. I just hit out and heaved him into the well.
Far to go. You also bludgeoned poor Lady Drummond with a poker.
Why change an effective weapon? But Amelia put up no end to the fight. I've been told she took chloral, assumed she'd be lethargic. She wasn't drugged at all, but I managed.
But why Amelia? She wasn't one of the guns.
Neither was the chaplain, but they both condoned what had happened. Any woman with a spark of compassion would have visited a wounded boy.
Yet you characterized her as loving and giving.
Oh, she was all of that with men. Didn't you know?
Saturday's corpse. How inconvenient for you that Paget didn't fit his epithet. Works hard for a living.
Oh, but he did. Paget was not a wage earner, nor do I know how hard he worked. But as a clergyman he had a benefice, or more commonly, a living. So he did fit the rhyme.
Ah.
Is it so late? I must dispose of you.
For pity's sake.
Get up and walk to the chapel. And remember, I will have a gun at your back. And I won't hesitate to shoot.
Haven't you done enough killing? Oh, my God. The corpse that is killed on the Sabbath day. But it isn't the Sabbath.
You are not so perceptive as I supposed.
Oh?
Didn't you note the date on the gravestone? Robert died on a Sunday, the Sabbath.
Your brother, Bonnie, Blythe, good.
Every word of that rhyme was true of him. Every word. Open the vestry door.
Please.
Get inside. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
Oh.
Goodbye, Your Royal Highness.
Sweeney, I congratulate you.
Bodyguarding is my job, sir.
As you keep telling me, was it unavoidable to shoot the lady?
Sir, she was pointing a shotgun at you. And after what she did to the good father.
Ghastly. So it was you I spotted going into the chapel. Damn it, man, I thought it was the murderer.
No, sir. But I saw all that happened. That's why I cunningly concealed myself and waited for my chance.
Sweeney, I am not ungrateful.
God save you, sir.
All I hope, Bertie, is that the whole sorry episode has been instructive.
Well, certainly it has. Anyway, it's all over. George Holdfast has had words with the Chief Constable of Buckingham, sir. The matter will be handled with discretion. Wish he'd told me earlier that they were at school together.
Will you now admit you should not have interfered?
Interfered? You forget I was sent an invitation. How did I know that it would result in wholesale carnage of the human sort, anyway? Am I to cut myself off from society? Stay at home all day and every day? If you have your way, I shall end up exactly like Mama, a fusty old recluse.
The Queen is not so cut off as you suppose.
Has something happened?
A message from Windsor. The Queen commands you visit her urgently.
Ah.
So what do you deduce from that, my dear?
In Bertie and the Seven Bodies by Peter Lovesey, dramatized by Geoffrey M. Matthews, Robert Lang played Bertie, Marcia King, Alex, James Green, Sweeney, Joan Moon, Amelia, Kim Wall, Marcus, Susanna Fellows, Isabella, Timothy Carlton, Jerry, Cyril Jenkins, Queenie, Norman Jones, Holdfast, Oriel Smith, Lady Holdfast, Terence Edmund, Paget, Nigel Carrington, Claude, Alan Barker, Wilfred, and Fraser Carr, Colwell. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.